Thanks for joining us. My name is Ibrahim Sani. If you are part of Corporate Malaysia, chances are you've been to KL Convention Centre or KL Convex at some point in your professional career. Joining us in our studio this morning is John Burke, the General Manager, recently appointed actually, General Manager of KL Convex. John, congratulations on this appointment. And of course, this is an unfamiliar territory for you. This is a very familiar territory for you. You've been the deputy there for quite some time. You've been here for 6 years. I guess this is an opportunity for you to explore what's next, not just for yourself as a professional in this field, but of course, what's next for KL Convex. Before we jump to all those kind of stuff, maybe you can do a quick recap for us in terms of what is KL Convention Centre, if some of us might not be too unfamiliar with, and of course, what kind of offerings and the kind of solutions that you provide for the market.
Okay, Kuala Lumpur Convention Centre is a purpose-built convention and exhibition centre located in the heart of Kuala Lumpur in Kuala Lumpur city centre. It's adjoined with the KLCC Park and numerous hotels. We can cater for events of conferences, exhibitions, concerts, meetings, anything from two people up to many thousands.
All right, and because of this, the kind of challenges that you faced during the pandemic is actually quite critical for us to explore as well. Right now, the resumption of in-person events is actually in full swing. This afternoon, in fact, I have another program that I have to attend to at KL Convex. And of course, this is just one of the many kind of resumption of activities that is taking place at convention centres like yourselves. Do you feel that the pandemic has taught you and the convention centre per se some lessons, and perhaps you want to explore the kind of permutations or alterations that you need to do moving forward in terms of your business model?
Yes, there was a switch from in-person events first to virtual events with the lockdown through the pandemic. So that saw all our business disappear, in-person event. So we had to be dynamic mm-hmm. and change and develop virtual solutions, mm-hmm. whether that's Zoom, FaceTime, Teams and other technologies. And what we've seen in the bounce back from the pandemic is a race back to face-to-face. People need that personal connection to get back together. So that's been very positive for us. We'll still support the virtual solutions for those clients that still want to do that kind of event or a mix of event with virtual and in-person. But it's encouraging to see that return to in-person events.
I'm not too familiar with the business of convention centres, but I suspect that KL Convex has to rely a lot on Petronas and its subsidiaries in terms of trying to find events there. Am I correct in my assessment?
A little bit. They are one of our main recurring clients, but they are not a significant part of the overall business that takes place in the building.
Okay.
But we do get good patronage from them.
And because of this, is there a need for you to further diversify the clientele that you have right now?
Absolutely. And that's also coming out of the pandemic as well. We're seeing a change in the business mix, where we had much more international business coming in, which is what we were created for as an international centre. We're seeing that slowly returning. Last year was very positive. This year's looking like being better. 24, we're expecting to be back to pre-pandemic levels. But at the moment, we're focusing more on corporate business, because the international business is not fully returned yet.
So from this, do you feel that some of the other convention centres, your competitors, might have an edge? They might offer MICE capabilities, they might offer accommodation capabilities, many more stuff that might not be there for KL Convex. How do you differentiate yourself from your competitors?
One of the things we're doing is looking at the sustainability aspect. It's also something that came out of the pandemic where we've got no business coming in, but we still have costs to carry. We have to look at efficiencies, we have to look at cost savings, and we started looking at the sustainability part on what our clients are asking us for, and that highlighted some areas where we can improve and save costs. So we look at food production, we look at food waste, we look at energy consumption, and what we're looking to do is create a differentiator between what we can offer as the precinct with ourselves as the convention centre and our partner hotels along with Surya Shopping Mall and the park, KLCC Park itself, how we can differentiate ourselves from other competitive venues.
Mm. And because of this, do you feel that you've put yourself above everyone else right now in terms of the competitive edge?
We feel that we're in a leading position. We would like others to share what we're doing and what we're learning from and what works and what doesn't work from the things we're trying. It's something that we as a centre and a country and the world, we have to do this. You know, we have the United Nations SDG goals, the Sustainable Development Goals set by the United Nations. So it's the race for zero in 2050. We're all trying to do this. We don't want to do it on our own. We want other people to do it as well, but we do feel like we're in a leading position on what we've achieved so far.
Okay, we'll go for one short break. When we come back, we'll discuss a little bit more in terms of the SDG efforts of KL Convex. We'll be right back after these messages. Thanks for staying on with us. I have with me in the studio John Berg, the GM, newly appointed GM of KL Convention Centre. John, let's talk a little bit more in terms of the SDG efforts that KL Convention Centre is currently doing. It is said here that KL Convex and partners are creating impact across 119 SDG targets. That is quite lofty, but at the same time, it's also quite important for us to explore the kind of impact and outcome that is going to come from these kind of activities. Do you feel that this is a bit too much to chew in terms of 119 SDG targets? Or do you feel that this is actually quite important for us to explore the kind of all the SDG targets that needs to be done right now?
It's absolutely important that we try to target as much as we can. We are still learning on this. So we are working with an organisation called Urban East Malaysia, mm-hmm. who are an organisation underneath the Ministry of Housing and Local Government. Mm-hmm. They are giving us some advice on how to prioritise and report and measure our impact that we are doing. So you mentioned the 118. That's of a total 156 targets against the United Nations 17 goals. So they're grouped up under 17 goals. And that's about access to clean water, food, reducing energy usage, safe community and environments, and all the rest of those.
Let's look at the mechanism right now, because as I understand it, there is this KLCC BEA or KL Convention Centre Business Events Alliance. Maybe you can explore more on that or talk more to that effect.
Okay, so the KLCC Business Events Alliance is a group of operations we have established. So as a convention centre, working with Mandarin Oriental Hotel, the Traders Hotel and the Shangri-La, Surya Shopping Mall, Malaysian Airlines, KLCC Park and KLCC Holdings. So these are the organisations around the precinct. We are working together to collaborate and share and develop what we can do in terms of sustainability efforts, and what one learns and works, we're making sure that the others benefit from that and we all move forward together. That as a collective puts us in a much better position to help both the community and the country, and also show to potential clients that yes, you can come to a sustainable venue, but there's no point coming to a sustainable venue if there's not a sustainable hotel, if there's not sustainable leisure facilities. So we're trying to create a centre for SDG achievement that people can come to in the knowledge that we're doing what we're saying we're doing and not just saying it.
Is there an audit to this to check what you're doing is indeed sustainable?
Urban East Malaysia have helped check some of the facilities we have in place, and we are doing what we're saying we're doing. Unfortunately, there's a number of standards available at the moment in terms of reporting, audits, assessments. So we're working with some, but there's still more work to do on that. And that's international standards and audits and checks.
Maybe you can explore to that. What are these international standards and how important is it to comply with these kind of standards?
Uh, the standards that are available, I don't know all of them.
Yeah,
but there's GRI reporting, there's ISO, there's local standards as well within Malaysia. But we need a way to measure ourselves against that. We need auditability. We need to find out that how are we impacting? So we can save water, we can save electric, we can save food on food waste. But what's the impact to the community? How are we assisting? How are we driving towards zero carbon emission? How are we delivering to the UN's goal and Malaysia's goal with targets for both 2030 and 2050 on reducing net carbon output and eliminating it completely?
You see, this is the point I'm trying to get at. So not only are you out there trying to secure clients to carry out events at your venue, you are also trying to juggle a few things as well, including ensuring that your partners are in sync with the kind of sustainability goals that you are trying to achieve. At the same time, you're trying to comply with either urbanize or these kind of international standards that might necessarily drive costs up because of the compliancy costs. Do you feel that these kind of activities might derail the main agenda of your company itself, which is to provide an event for venues?
No, I don't think it's going to derail us. I think it's going to assist us. It's making us think more about how we deliver services. It's making us engage more with our clients on more about what they want to achieve as part of their own goals, what legacy or what impact do they want to leave when the event takes place. Conferences are about knowledge transfer, about impact, about legacy. So how can we assist with them? And it's facilitating that discussion. I also disagree slightly that it's impacting on cost in a cost increase perspective. What we're finding is, yes, some things we do will add a cost to the business. But we're also finding by looking closely at how we are using resources, it's giving us a focus to target reduction. So whether that's electricity reduction, whether it's food reduction, so we're looking at how we manage our food production better, manage our food waste better. We're looking at our sourcing of product. We're trying to source more locally. We already source, I think, 70-something percent of our produce locally within Malaysia or the region. We're trying to improve on that. We're also looking at new suppliers on where we can source even more locally within the greater Klang region. So that is adding to cost reduction sort of elements. So I think it balances out. There's a bit of cost increase, but there's also cost reduction.
Okay, and how important are these values to your clients or prospecting clients? Are they extrinsically asking the sustainability elements of your convention center, or they're just saying, asking, you know, what facilities do you have and how much does it cost?
No, it used to be cost and facilities.
Mm.
What we're seeing now is our clients are asking what our sustainability position is. It's one of the top five things they're checking for. It's something that comes into the bids. So when we bid for an event, to host an event, it's one of the things we have to outline on our bid. We have to detail everything we're doing to support them and their own goals. There's the corporate travel management organization as well. They did a global survey of corporate travelers, and nearly 60% of their respondents said that sustainability is key to how they choose destination venues, hotels, airlines, and car rental companies. So it's something that is on the agenda for people looking to host an event and bring an event to KL or Malaysia as a whole.
Maybe you can talk to us about the other top five stuff out of curiosity. I just want to explore.
Oh, it is the cost, the facilities, the hotels nearby. Are they walking distance so they don't have to use transport? Again, that's a sustainability effort as well.
Mm.
We don't have to bus all the candidates from outlying hotels into a centre.
Mm.
It's really good when you've got hotels in walking distance to where they need to be.
Mm-hmm. Okay, before we go into the break, my follow-up question to this is, how equipped are your teams in terms of delivering these kind of values, or is there a need for you to upskill not just the know-how but the appreciation of these SDG goals amongst the team members at KL Convex?
I think there's always a need to add more skill. There's always a need to increase knowledge. So we are doing more awareness training, and we will be doing more with our teams. But I do think that what we've been able to achieve so far has been fantastic on the team's capability and their willingness to get involved and commit and engage on these projects.
Fantastic. Okay, one more short break before we conclude our conversation with John Burke of KL Convention Centre. Thanks for staying on with us. I have here John of KL Convention Centre. I want to explore some technology aspect of providing these kind of SDG solutions for your clients. One of them that I note is the AI-enabled food waste tracking system, for instance.
Yes.
There's also the Reliant Water Harvesting System. What kind of technology is currently being implemented, and how is it, providing that kind of yield of reduction that you mentioned earlier?
We're looking at all technologies and all solutions, whether technology-based or manual-based or organizational-based. On the one you mentioned there about the AI for looking at food waste, this is a camera solution from an organization called Winnow. They have created a system that incorporates a camera with AI capability, where you place the camera over a waste bin. The waste bin sits on some electronic scales. You put the waste food into the bin. It weighs it, so you've got a record of your food waste. It also, from the photo analysis of what goes into that bin, can tell what type of food it is. So then you can work out what your food cost is based on the type of food. And also, we put in on the pad where it came from, and then we can also help determine later when we analyze the information whether it was preventable waste or whether it was just waste that we could not do anything else with. So that's helping us to focus on the kind of waste we have, when it's generated, and helps the chef look at what can be prevented, whether that's kitchen production waste, whether it's plate waste, or whether it's what we call overproduction waste, which is typically from a buffet or a dinner where you have leftover food. And from that, how can we retain more of that food that's left over because of food safety principles? That sometimes, even though it looks okay, we still have to dispose of it. But if we can, we'll try and save it. And we work with an organization called Food Aid Foundation to pass that food on to the community for those in need.
Is it already being implemented?
Yes,
right now?
Yeah, we already have that in place in the building.
Has it resulted in food reduction or reduced food wastage?
It has. We're still looking at some of the details. We're anticipating that to deliver at least a 30% reduction initially. And as we expand our food waste efforts, then we're looking up to a 50% is our target.
It's amazing. Does it cost a lot, this kind of solution?
It doesn't cost too much if you look at the overall cost of food waste.
Yeah.
So it should pay for itself. It's already paying for itself on the little part we're using it in. And as we expand it, then we're expecting more savings.
Do you need people to monitor all this? Or is it everything is just automated?
We haven't recruited any additional people to manage it. We've incorporated it into our standard operating procedures.
Wow, this is amazing. Sorry, this is my first time hearing this. I mean, it sounds intuitive enough, though, isn't it? Like, you would want to track the waste bin. And I've been to enough buffets for me to realize, oh my God, the wastage is just astronomical. And then Ramadan is just around the corner. There's another round of wastages.
We're placing a lot of focus on our Ramadan offerings. So looking at how we reduce the waste through that period. Because you say the buffets, we all love a good buffet.
Yeah.
but they
are. It's counterintuitive to Ramadan, though. You know, I mean, the concept of Ramadan is just to be piety and reduction, basically. But here we are.
Buffets are
all eating buffet.
Buffets are one of the most wasteful in terms of food service types.
Yeah.
But it's also something clients request, and we will work with the client on that. But we'll also try and work with them on how we do it in a way that is not wasteful as much as possible.
Maybe you can talk to us to the fact of what kind of food is normally wasted. Do you know?
All food.
All
unfortunately, all food. A lot of the starch-based food, though, is rice, noodles, the carbs, but meat as well, which is high value for us. So
for the community as well.
It's how protein. We reduce that. But wherever possible, we are trying to divert that either back into the kitchen to repurpose, as long as it's food safe, or to Food Aid Foundation to pass on to communities.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what about the rain harvesting water system?
Rain harvesting, this is one of those projects that took no effort. It's simple. When you start looking at some of these things, it's just...
Including solar panels. I see some on Suraki LCC.
Yeah, we did. I'll come on to the solar panels. That on the rain harvesting, we put some big bins, some big catchment bins on the roof, and we use that for washdown areas. Unfortunately, because of the amount of water we need to take a more longer-term plan on bigger tanks in the basement of the building, and we're looking at how that may proceed. But we've done a small project that adds a contribution. You know, if we can't save everything, can we save some?
Yeah.
So the water that we do save is used for all the washdown areas. So it's just gravity fed, a big tank on the roof, gravity fed down to a tap, put your washer in, plug it in, and go. Really simple. On the solar panels, we've looked at the solar panels, and unfortunately, because of the architectural design of our building, it's got a sort of scalloped shaped roof, which was, it still looks great architecturally, but the current technology for solar panel is not as effective on that kind of roof because it doesn't get enough direct sunlight. So solar panel won't work for us, but for other buildings, yep, go ahead, work for it.
But I do see, you know, there's natural light coming into KL Convex because of this roof design. So that must have helped in terms of reducing artificial light, no?
We do have a lot of natural light coming in. The downside of that is managing the temperature inside because glass is...
So everything is offsetting.
It's like living in a greenhouse, a glass house. It's very hot. So that offsets with the cost of managing air conditioning inside.
Mm.
But just reducing or changing the temperature control by 1 degree can make really large improvements. We don't have the measure for that either, but we're looking into how we do that.
It seems like there's a lot of work in progress that is currently being done by KL Convex. Do you feel that 2023 onwards is going to be quite interesting, not just, like I said, trying to source for events and clients to come over and do their events at KL Veggie Center, but internally trying to achieve these kind of sustainability goals that you have right now?
Yeah, we've done a lot, or we think we've done a lot. We're trying to do more. I don't think you can ever do enough. So we've got a small urban farm. We've got hydroponics on the roof of the building. So we can't do solar, but we have space. We've put some hydroponic, so we're growing salads and greens. We've got herb garden on the roof. Very recently, we've installed beehive on the roof. So to aid pollination and the growth of plants. Bees are an endangered species, but they're essential to life on this planet. So we've got bees coming or on the roof already. We want to grow and increase our capability for growing food on or in the building. There's always more projects we can do. EV installations have gone in for electric cars.
Mm.
You know, what's next? What can we do? Either more of that we're already doing, or what new projects can we tackle? Each one on its own may not deliver the whole solution, But if we can do lots of little bits, and particularly with our partners as well, and then bring the community in, we can get engagement, we can get knowledge sharing, get education. We can, in our small part, help move the whole force of sustainability forward.
Fantastic. Final word, John, before we conclude our conversation.
Final word. I would ask everyone to do their piece, whether it's recycling, whether it's think about what you're using, on think about what you're taking on buffets. We come back to our favorite subject of food. And if there's any ideas, give us the ideas. If you want to work with us, come and talk to us.
Fantastic. That was John Burke, the freshly minted general manager of KL Convention Center. If you want to learn more about what KL Convention Center does, head on to their website and find out more there. In the meantime, we here at Astrawani is also committed in terms of trying to fulfill our own SDG targets. Visit astrawani.com to see our own targets there. My name is Ibrahim Sani. Catch you in the next one.